Man, we got a great Big Friday show for you. That's, we should just call this show the Great Big Friday Show. Second hour, Tim Staples is going to be here, and we're going to do open forum for kids. So if you're under 18 and you've got a question about the faith, second hour is for you. You just got to get permission to dial the phone. Then you got to find a phone and then call us, and we'll do our very best to get you an answer to questions about God, about faith, about the sacraments. It's always fun to end the work week with an hour with kids on Kids Open Forum. In the first hour, we welcome back a good friend of this program and someone who I'm always just delighted to talk to, but I am particularly delighted to talk to him today because he's got a book out that is the book of the moment. It is coming together of providence has happened, and he has the book that we need at this moment. It's called Restoring Humanity, Essays on the Evangelization of Culture. And if you've ever thought, I'm not so sure humanity needs restoring, you have probably been disabused of that notion in recent months. And I can tell you what you will get in this book is not just a reaction. It's not a reaction book to this or that movement or this or that passion that's being expressed or even this or that act of emphasis in the media or pop culture or whatnot. Not at all. This is a book of a lifetime of work, really, reflecting on Christianity, on culture, on what makes us human and what robs us of our humanity. And our guest is Jared Stout. As I said, the brand new book is called Restoring Humanity, Essays on the Evangelization of Culture. He's the Associate Superintendent of Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Denver, and he teaches there in Denver at the Augustine Institute. Jared Stout, thank you for being with us for this hour.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
And congratulations on having a book that meets the moment so precisely.
And God's providence, right?
Amen. That's right, in God's providence. But it's funny that I do think this is a lifetime of reflection for you is in this book. And so in a certain sense, your interest in the fact that humanity is sort of slipping away from us is now at the service of humanity in the publishing of this book. What is your sense? First of all, why restoring humanity? And to your mind, what needs to be restored so that our humanity is restored?
Mm-hmm. You know, in the modern world, we hear people telling us that if we pull away from the church and from faith and from God, then we can be truly free. We can be truly in control of our own lives, and we're going to have all of this material progress in the world. But we've actually seen the opposite happening. The more we turn away from God and faith, the more that our own humanity is undermined. Reason is not better off than it was 100 years ago, right? We're really having a breakdown of reason.
Yep.
And when we look at the natural world, we even look at our own bodies, right? The integrity of human life is being called into question and undermined in so many ways right now.
I'm stealing this a little bit as a paraphrase from one of the chapters in your book, but this tremendous material prosperity gives the impression of a vital society, a culture that's alive and on the move. But we're really, in fact, dying as a culture.
We are running on the fumes of Christian culture. And it really is Christian culture that even gave rise to science when you think about the ability of reason to understand the world and to be co-creators with God. This is what brought material progress. But I think because we're running on fumes, we are going to get to the point where we start seeing things breaking down more and more in our culture. And as you said, you know, we can kind of look around at this moment and say, things are not right at this moment.
Right, yeah.
And especially with the family. You know, the church has always said that the family is the building block of society. And when we look at what's going on in our culture with the breakdown of the family, and to me, this is most disturbing, young people not wanting to have a family.
Right.
To me, this is the biggest sign that things are not right in our culture.
Our number, by the way, is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk with our guest this hour, Jared, if you don't, I'm going to, because I love talking with Jared. but you're welcome to call. The book is called Restoring Humanity. Jared Stout, a teacher at the Augustine Institute in Denver, which so many people have come to admire. The Augustine Institute, extraordinary place, extraordinary people, and Jared fits in right perfectly among them. 888-318-7884, the number, 888- 318-7884. I was reading a piece about the Hagia Sophia being turned from a museum back into a mosque. And there's a commentary that came from the UNESCO, the United Nations World Heritage Organization, and because it's a World Heritage Site, the Hagia Sophia. It's a Catholic church. It's been a Catholic church for more than 1,000 years. And then in 1453, it's lost to Mehmet in the Muslim invasion. It becomes a mosque for hundreds of years. In the 1930s, it's made into a museum, and everyone seems to think it should go back to being a museum. And especially the UNESCO World Site, and there's this great upset that Muslims will be praying there again, but the UNESCO statement says, this belongs in the hands of all humanity, and as a museum, it's preserved universally for everyone. And there, that seems to me that is exactly pointing to the wrong way of thinking about what is universally good for humanity. We've given up the idea that the universal good for humanity is the Catholic faith that built that church. We want to put that faith into a museum and say that secularism and whatever is secular is the real guarantor of the future of humanity. What do you make of my thesis?
Yeah, one of my chapters in the book, it's a question: will beauty save the world? And that phrase, beauty will save the world, is from Dostoevsky's novel, The Idiot. And the idiot and the prince in the story never actually says it. It's attributed to him. And he, of course, ends the novel in an epileptic fit. And so it doesn't actually seem like there's a lot of saving going on in the novel. And to me, that's key. Beauty will not save the world if it's simply a museum piece.
Yeah.
Just like walking through the Met is not going to save souls.
Right.
However, we do have a huge problem of illiteracy of our own tradition, the beauty, the truth, the goodness of our own tradition. And so, one of my biggest concerns with Hagia Sophia is that we would lose contact with one of the most beautiful sites on the face of the earth.
Okay, I see.
And so it's important that we still have access, and the Turkish government said we will. But it's interesting. There's an Orthodox bishop that said, well, if Muslims are going to pray there again, can Christians pray there again? Yeah. That's an interesting way of looking at it, because
a better way.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at the icons of Christ and Our Lady within the building, they are still pointing us to Christ, the beauty of Christ that will save us. And I think that's what Dostoevsky is really getting at, that beauty can save us, suffering can save us as well, when they are leading us into Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's the enduring witness of Hagia Sophia. As a museum or as a place of worship, it can lead us into an encounter with Christ.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. The thing is, it can't be done, this restoring of humanity, making the world a humane place where a human being can come to the fullness of their humanity, can't be done in a fully 100% secularized world. Those two things are opposites to one another. They clash with one another.
Central to the book is really the vision of Pope John Paul II. He realized, growing up in Poland, a country that had been partitioned and had rediscovered its identity after the First World War as a nation, and then, of course, taken over by the Nazis and the communists, John Paul realized that culture was the way to save his own nation. And I think, part of what I'm arguing in the book, it's the way to save the church and our society as well, because it's the way that we live. And so John Paul said that if there's a wedge between faith and life, then there's a problem with both faith and life, right? Because they're meant to be drawn together. So for faith, he said, to actually be faithful to itself, to be complete, it needs to be lived out as a culture. But
yes.
Culture isn't fine without faith either, right? Because culture needs to be pointed in the right direction. It needs to be healed. It needs to be elevated to really be a complete and full way of life. So faith and culture need each other. And that's essentially the thesis of the book. But it's from Pope John Paul II, and there's a whole chapter on his thought, placing culture as the priority of the new evangelization, as he described it.
The book is called Restoring Humanity, Essays on the Evangelization of Culture. I think most people who go through a, I don't know, say the average airport or whatnot can get a sense of how humanity has slipped away, that these great public places are really places not for human beings. They're for consumers more than anything. And we are so much more than consumers. So I suppose where I'm going with that is that there is something in us, I think, that has been taught that if the whole world would just become peaceful and secular like we are, then that would be much better than all of this religion everywhere causing conflict and all of that. I just want to come at you again with this. That underlying assumption that secularism is pacifying and humanizing is wrong.
Absolutely. You know, Tom Holland is a secular historian, British historian, who actually just came out very recently and said, I realize that the values that I cherish are not from secular liberalism. They're all from Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the ancient world, those values were not there. If you look around at other cultures of the world, those same values are not there. They are Christian values that we cherish. And, you know, obviously, when you look at ideological movements, Nazism was a secular movement. Communism, like the communism that killed tens of millions of people in Russia, tens of millions of people in China, and has people in concentration camps in China right now, that's a secular vision, right? And so it really has to be Christians that are once again standing up for the dignity of the human person. But I would also add a dignified way of life. That's what we really need. You know, a life that is worth living, that has meaning, and really is full of hope. And I hope that the book really is able to communicate that. You know, can we have contact with beauty, with an organic contact with nature, even through our work? Can we build a robust family life? Can we build strong schools? These are ways in which we can rebuild hope and confidence in the dignity and beauty of human life.
And so I suppose there's an agenda that comes with that, that it says it's not enough just to say we need to, I mean, it's certainly necessary, but it's not sufficient to say we need to have our religious freedoms protected. We need to have a space that we can go to somewhere in the secular culture. It's the agenda is something much greater than that, much nobler than just trying to eke out a spot where you can be left alone to be a Christian. I have to take a break. When we come back, I want you to tell me, if you can, what that greater agenda is and why it's not enough just to say, I want to be a voter and I want to have a place to go to church. We need the Christian is about something much more important as we lack so much humanity. Right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
People often wonder about the power of prayer. Why do we pray anyway if we end up having to do so much work for ourselves? So the reality is, we find ourselves up against a wall and we pray. It's like God turns a light up on the other side of that wall, brighter and brighter and brighter, until the light shines through the tiniest cracks. God might not do it all for me, but he shows me how to make my work more efficient so that together we can accomplish all things through his grace.
I hope that I'm not tamping down my enthusiasm for the brand new book from our guest. I hope I'm not in any way suggesting that I might lack enthusiasm for it. I honestly believe that sometimes a book matches the moment just perfectly. I do think that this book does. I worry sometimes that you can, in the modern world, there are so many entertainments and things to turn to that you can be anesthetized to the fact that the society is not really humane and doesn't really provide all the things, as Jared Stout, the author of the book Restoring Humanity, says, like including dignity and meaning in order to make a life fully human. So I was asking you before the break, and so now you've had time to think about it, this better be a really good answer, about there's a certain way in which we can get sucked into a minimalist position of, hey, don't trample on my right of free worship, and you know, don't trample on my religious liberties. But it's not just that we want to be at liberty in a secular world. We want something else, and that's what you're trying to get at in this book, I think.
Yeah, there's a reason that John Paul II made building culture a priority of the new evangelization, because he's saying it's not enough, as you're saying, just to have these rites off in our corner. We have to live out our faith in this secular world. And I think this living out of the faith is the way that we will rebuild culture. So how do we do that? You know, we already talked about kind of immersing ourselves in beauty and having this order towards Christ. But, you know, just kind of looking at the rest of the chapters, that kind of lays out a plan or a vision for rebuilding culture. One is engaging nature in an organic way through our work, that we are meant to be co-creators with God, that he's given us a mission of dominion over the earth. And I think we're lacking that in our artificial modern culture, right? So the whole vocation to work is a vocation to be in contact with nature and to perfect it. The chapter on family may be the most important, because I think this is the key way. Some people say, what can we do with this, you know, secular culture that it surrounds us? There's nothing I can do to combat it. And I say, well, the first thing you do is you live the faith every single day. And I think the home is the main place to build culture with the support of the parish, right? And so that's praying as a family in the home and having the faith become part of our daily, weekly, and even yearly routine. And then really forming the mind and imagination of our children, having a routine of work and leisure in the home, and then building community with other families. But then also having the support of schools and having the school and the university become a place of rebuilding Christian culture. I like to say we want to reconnect past and present. We want to reconnect faith and reason, and we want to reconnect faith and life. We're building these habits of Christian culture in the school as well. And I think when we do this through our work, through our family life, through education, through beauty and the great tradition of the church, then we can start to say, how is then my life, which is ordered and guided by my faith, building up society as a whole? It really is, you know, Christians who are robustly living their faith in relationship with Christ every day and everything that they do, that will really be a leaven for our society as a whole.
Jared Stout is our guest. Our number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to call and talk with Jared Stout, he is the Associate Superintendent of Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Denver, and he teaches at the Augustine Institute. And he's got a whole bunch of books, including you wrote a book about beer, I remember. Tell me the title of the beer book again.
The beer option, right?
Oh, yeah, the beer option.
The Benedictine tradition, yeah.
So did you ever send a copy to Rod Dreher? Did he get a copy?
Yeah, right? and just how beer can be a way of rebuilding culture.
Yeah.
Right, with local community and evangelization and reconnecting to the Catholic tradition, right? So that's another facet of this.
The current book is called Restoring Humanity, and it comes just at a moment where we really need to be doing a deep reflection on how to restore humanity. If you have questions about that, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Is there anything in the book about Christians, the divisions among Christians, and a need to have a more unified witness to a different vision of life than secular culture is giving us?
I don't address that particularly, but I will say I don't think there's anything in the book that we couldn't use to engage with our fellow Christians. A lot of these same principles, you know, would apply of trying to really live out the faith in our daily life, to engage beauty and education, and to work for the common good together with all people of goodwill. So I think the closest thing is that the chapter on John Paul II originally was in a journal that was meant to promote dialogue amongst Christians, and it had a very good reception even amongst non-Catholics.
So I suppose some people, we mentioned an allusion there to Rod Dreher, who wrote the Benedict Option, and whatever else might be said about the Benedict Option, and many, many things have been said about that book, the idea that Christians built culture once and we can do it again permeates that book. Whatever you might think of the strategy, but it permeates the book. Do you believe that? Are you of a mind that Christians actually built what might be called Western culture, and that as we see it kind of losing steam and breaking down all around us, that we can do it again?
Absolutely. And I think that's even the thesis of the book. We can build culture, because culture is our shared way of life. And Christian culture is a shared way of life that's animated by our faith. And so, yes, I do absolutely believe that the Benedictine monks and bishops throughout the West were key in rebuilding culture. You can see that in very concrete ways. The first hospitals in the West, the libraries, the way that universities arose out of the monastery and cathedral schools, the way that bishops were instrumental in compiling legal codes. And we could go on and on and on. So I think there's very concrete ways in which we saw the church rebuilding culture in the West. And, you know, the premise of the Benedict Option is that as at least morally and spiritually speaking, the West is crumbling again, we really need to reanimate our culture with the Christian faith again and start rebuilding these institutions.
Is that why the word evangelizing is right there in the subtitle, that you associate the restoration of humanity with sharing Christ with humanity?
Right. And John Paul was clear. He said, not only do individuals need evangelizing, that is to receive the good news, he said, culture is an object of evangelization. So he was very clear about that. And that is bringing the gospel, the vision of Christ into the culture and how we live.
So in a practical sense, I mean, it always happens. If we to do an hour here on evangelization, we'll get people calling saying, I just don't have it in me to go out on a street corner and stand there and share Jesus and that kind of thing. And that's not, I mean, that is a great thing to do, and many wonderful people are doing that, but that's not exactly the whole universe of things that you have in mind when you use the word evangelizing.
Right. And I think that the evangelization of culture is something that parents should pass on to their kids. That is, I'm not only teaching them the faith, I am teaching them how to live as a Christian. Schools become places of the evangelization of culture. Once again, how do we think as Christians in the world? How do we view everything within a coherent unity? How do we live as Christians in the world? I think schools really teach us that. If you are at a secular school that is keeping the faith off to the side or completely out of the school, then you're basically learning to think and live in a secular way. And then also through our work, right? We have great opportunities to evangelize in so many ways, just the witness of our work, the integrity of our work, the relationships that we form. And I think even through our leisure, you know, the kind of conversations that we have, the time that we spend with people. And so there are huge opportunities for witness right now. But if we live our faith, the witness will follow. People will see how we're living, and the engagement will be natural.
The thing is, though, I think many of the people, many person of a, you know, every person listening, let's say, is like some of the young families we have here at Catholic Answers. You know, they really do feel overwhelmed morning to night. There's not the kind of individualism that the United States has embraced has made family life really burdensome for many people. They feel overwhelmed. How are they going? They're saying, now, Jared, I got to build culture. I got to evangelize the world. I mean, I can barely get through the schedule that I have with these kids.
And I think that when we are really participating in a school that has a strong vision, right, we're partnering with that school. And I think the same thing, you know, with parishes. You know, parishes spend a lot of time having educational programs for youth, or they do adult Bible studies. But one thing that I think we really could do to help families to build culture is to have communities of families where families can really come together and support one another within the parish. I think that would actually make the parish a place of building culture. That is, it can become a place where we're sharing the Christian life together. And it's not that we're just going to Mass. I mean, the Mass is the center of Christian culture. There's no doubt about it. But I think what we really need to see is that there needs to be a way of life, habits and practices growing up around the Mass and around religious education.
Jared Stout is our guest. Restoring Humanity is the name of the book. I have said it before. I'll say it again. I think it's the book we need at this moment. And I have kept callers waiting, so we'll get to callers for Jared Stout right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In what forms does the Word of God come to us? How do we know that the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and complete? Why do we need tradition to help us understand Scripture? Doesn't the Bible teach that it alone is sufficient for salvation? In 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, examining the first and most important issue in the Christian faith, the manner in which God has communicated to us the saving truths of the gospel. 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
I'm Monsignor Charles Pope.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team discusses COVID precautions at Mass.
Monday morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
It's a really big Friday. It feels like a super big Friday. I'll tell you why. Well, the next hour, we've got Tim Staples, and we're going to do open forum for kids. So if you're under 18 and you want to call and you got permission to dial the phone, the next hour, we just let any kid call with any question at all. This hour, we have Jared Stout from the Augustine Institute in Denver with his brand new book, Restoring Humanity. You can call and talk with him, 888-318-7884. But I also want to let people know that Tim and I are doing an evening with Evangelization Australia this evening, and it's online. And the folks at Evangelization Australia have invited anybody around the world who wants to come. So if you just type in Evangelization Australia into your search bar, you'll find them, and you can find out where to go. Or you can go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page and join us this evening. And I say this evening, in Australia, it will actually be morning. It'll be Saturday morning there, but it's Friday evening here with Tim and I. By the way, the Australians, for whatever reason, spell evangelization with an S. I don't know if they think they're British or what the deal is, but they spell it with an S. So Evangelization Australia. Or just go to our Facebook page, Catholic Answers, and check it out there. We're going to talk about God the Father. You know what? You don't hear enough about God the Father, do you? But you pray to him every day because I know you're praying, you're our Father. So we'll talk about that with all the folks from Australia, and we'd love to have you join us. And I know the folks in Australia would love to have you join us as well. Again, the number right here is 888-318-7884. Calls for Jared Stout. So I'm going to go to Rosa in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Rosa, your question for our guest, Jared Stout.
Hi, Dr. Stout. I took your class last fall with Dr. G at AI and loved it, and I'm doing it again now with Dr. Klein. I was wondering, this book sounds fascinating. Would be like a feather in my cap if you offered this class at AI, do you?
Yeah, so actually, a lot of the ideas in the book have come out of my teaching. I developed a class at the Augustine Institute called The New Evangelization in Culture. And taught it for years when I was a full-time professor there, and really was an amazing class, and we got into art and society and living the faith. That has been taught. You know, I'm no longer a full-time professor there, but Joseph Pierce even did it last summer. So in the Creed class that I'm doing at the Augustine Institute this fall, as we are looking at the Creed, we are going to be making connections to prayer and to art every single week of the class. So we will see elements of this coming out. But actually, I was going to be doing a class at a local parish here in Denver called Icon, an exploration of Christian art and culture. But because of COVID, you can say, well, it's unfortunate we can't do it in person. But on the other hand, now anyone across the country can take this course. And we are going to be getting really deep into the history of Christian art in all different media. So architecture, painting, sculpture, music, literature. It's going to be a 30-week course. I'm really looking forward to it. If you're interested in signing up for this class, ICON, you go to the Denver Catholic Biblical School, and you click under Supplemental Courses, and you can sign up for the course online.
Okay, Rosa.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, especially Dr. Stout appreciates it, too, because he just got to share his course coming up. That does sound like a good course. The number here is 888-318-7884. Let's go to John in Denver, listening on 1060 AM. So you're right there where Dr. Stout is. John, your question.
Yeah, I'm going to be 88 in October, so I'm an old man. I remember when America was Christian. I remember when stores were closed on Sunday. It was called the Blue Law. Bars and liquor stores were closed on Good Friday.
Good Friday. Right.
And we used to swear on a Bible. You know, and now they're teaching evolution, and I'm saying I think we've lost it in America. You know, and I took a biblical course. Is there a fellow by the name Campbell teaching a course there?
Yes, he's a good friend of mine, Daniel Campbell. Yeah.
Daniel Campbell. Yeah, a fabulous course. And look, when I took that course, I says, this young man should be giving this course to all the local priests in Denver. I was like, he was awesome. Yeah.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. I mean, here you have a gentleman 88 years old. I'm a little bit younger than that. But I can remember when things were closed on Sunday. I'm sure that even before I was born, some of that had already started going away. But how do we get that back, I guess, is what John in Denver is asking.
Yeah, it's an important question because I think part of the problem we're experiencing in the church right now is that we used to be able to rely on the culture to support living out the Christian life. And I think as we see, when we look at the collapse of the last 60 years, is that if you're simply relying on the culture, that's not enough, right? And so building Christian culture has to come from an encounter with Christ, faith in Christ, and a daily relationship with Christ. That is the beginning. And then from there, it is about forming daily habits of living out my faith and how this enters into my work, my relationships, everything that I do. And so I would say that it really is from my experience teaching on culture with a lot of parish workers, with school teachers. I think we have to say, how can we right now in our situation begin rebuilding Christian culture? It's not going to be me necessarily, you know, lobbying Washington to change laws to go back to keeping everything closed on Sunday. Would it be better if we were observing the Lord's Day publicly? Yes. But I think that what we need to do is to begin to say, let's look long term. You know, in the short term, we're not going to automatically just change the way that everyone lives in our country. But I need to wait to change the way that I live right now. I can't wait around for the culture to change. And I need to really be consistent about my faith. And also, this is something we haven't talked about yet, but making sure that I'm removing the obstacles to living out of my faith. I think there's more and more obstacles in education. There can be obstacles through entertainment and maybe the dominance of technology over my life. There can be obstacles. The way that I'm thinking, right, can be incompatible with my faith. So I need consistency in everything that I do with the center of my relationship with Christ.
John, thank you so much for that question. The number is 888-318-7884. Jared Stout is our guest. He's the author of a brand new book called Restoring Humanity. It's essays on the evangelization of culture, available right now. And up next, we go to Jackie in North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Jackie. You got a question for Jared Stout?
Hello. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Happy to.
I'm actually really enjoying this discussion. My question for Dr. Scout, my husband just interrupted me. He said I wish Maria a happy wedding and congratulations.
Okay. All right. I'll explain that to Dr. Stout why you did that. But thank you for that. Marie is she's getting married tomorrow, so she's not in today. But assistant producer Marie, they get to go to the church. I guess it's open, so they're going to get married tomorrow. And Jackie, you have to hang on the line. You have to. Your husband knows this.
Okay.
You have to hang on the line after this call. But go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
Thank you. Well, my question for Dr. Stout is earlier on when you were introducing his book. He talked about one way of this renewal happening being with kind of intergenerational ministry within the parish, but maybe so more so grassroots up. And as a family with four young children who really love the Benedictine spirituality, my husband and I were just wondering if he could give us some practical ideas of how a family might invite other people from the parish along and do this journey together? Like, what would that tangibly look like?
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. I think it would be one of the most important takeaways from this conversation. If we could get families starting family holy hours, it doesn't have to be a whole hour, right? But it's a time for families to come in church where they're not telling their kids, shh, you know, be quiet, don't say that, sit still in the pew, right? Where maybe you can have adoration where each family comes up and has a time just for their family to come right in front of the monstrance. We've done something where we've asked families to write down petitions and even put them in a basket right in front of the monstrance and maybe have some, you know, some songs and hymns that the kids would really like to sing and make it family focused. Then maybe you go and you have potluck dinner, you have time for games, and then there's certain times you may be able to take a hike as a family, go on a camping trip. I think we really need to look at parish ministry and find ways to make it more family focused, because it's hard. If you say, join this Bible study for adults and you have four young kids, it's hard to then get a babysitter or take turns with your spouse or just dropping the kids off for education. What happens when you do that? Well, you're disconnecting their faith formation from your role as the primary educator. There's nothing wrong with that. But we, in addition, need opportunities for parents to be the main mentors of their kids in an organic way, that we are living this out together. We're doing things together. And when you do it with other families, you're building culture, right? You're building these habits, and it's not just your family being weird, right? You know, but you're doing the other families, making friendships, having it be something normal for your kids.
How's that, Jackie? What do you think?
That was really helpful. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, and God bless you in your efforts. It really is a very beautiful and inspiring call. We're going to send you a free book, so hang on, and Thomas will get your information, and you can negotiate with Thomas about which book it is. It's basically any book from Catholic Answers. She can have any book she wants. But don't get, tell her, don't get things the saints never said. Just get a good book, okay? 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk with Jared Stout about restoring humanity, essays on the evangelization of culture, I would strongly suggest you just find the book and get it. It's a very reasonable, I think it's 9 essays, right? And you can read them at your leisure, but very helpful in diagnosing. And we haven't talked so much about this, but diagnosing what happened that got us to this point, and then giving some helpful ideas, all in the spirit of Pope John Paul II, the ideas on how we can become the people who grow in an organic sense, in a sense that makes us partners with Jesus, who loves every single human being and wants every life to flourish, in creating a truly human culture in which truly human lives can flourish. I think it's fair to say that it's not unique to Catholics, but Catholics are probably more formed in this direction than almost anyone else, that you can't be a fully human person. You can't live a fully human life on your own. It's a thing that's done in a community, in a society, within a culture. And so in order to restore humanity, we need to restore all those things. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more with our guest, Jared Stout.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
St. Hildegard of Bingen was a mystic, an abbess, a botanist, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Hildegard had her first visions at the age of 3, which she called the shade of the living light. She later wrote about them in works declared by St. Bernard of Clairvaux to be from God. Pope Benedict XVI agreed when he named her only one of 4 doctors of the church who are women in 2012.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. The book that I've been recommending to you, and I hope that you will share, is called Restoring Humanity. It's from our guest, Jared Stout, who teaches at who teaches at the Augustine Institute, or people just call it AI. Those are the people who are very fancy and really in the know, but you could call it Augustine Institute. They're in Denver, and they do fine work. And so we're taking your questions on restoring humanity, restoring this culture of ours. Jared, I asked you, so before I go back to the phone calls, I will ask you again, I just don't want to leave that hanging, about how do we get here? What got us into this predicament we are currently in?
Yeah, really. I mean, it goes back to the 1600s, to the project of the Enlightenment, and you know, we can make connections even back to the Reformation, the separation of faith and culture that you see even in Martin Luther and other reformers. But from the 1600s on, there is a reimagining of human life that happens in this secular way, you know, kind of propping up reason as the ultimate goal, even if that breaks down over time. But reimagining economics, reimagining politics, and even reimagining the family from a secular point of view. And I would say that what I'm trying to do in the book is to help people to reimagine from a Christian point of view. What should my work look like if I'm truly living the faith in my daily life? What should my family life look like? What should a school look like? And what should our society eventually look like when all of these pieces fit together over time? And so a lot of it has to do with the imagination. Can I really picture a life in which we are drawing upon the great heritage of our Catholic faith and Catholic culture in rebuilding in a new and dynamic way for the future?
And this is something I think this is maybe part of why you see so many Catholic people write books about Tolkien, is that he understood
this question of imagination and the ability to imagine life differently than it's being sold to you, really, in the modern world.
And I think that that's a great example because, as you said, he was writing myth. It was basically interweaving the Catholic vision into the story in a natural way. So in no way seemed contrived or forced.
Right.
And so I think he can be a model for saying, how do we really reimagine Christian life right now in a faithful but also in a creative way?
Let's go to Barbara in New Jersey, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, a Sirius XM satellite radio. Barbara in New Jersey, are you there with us?
Yes.
Hi, Barbara. Your question for Jared Stout.
Well, I guess I'm a 55-year-old lifelong Catholic. I went K through 8 to a wonderful Catholic school in upstate New York. That's still flourishing. And then an all-girls Catholic high school, wonderful. And then I went to a Jesuit college that is really it's a great college, but boy, are they – I feel like social justice has become their god. It's,
so you got – in other words, you got a lot of Catholic education and then you went to a Jesuit college. Okay, so we – sorry, that was a Jesuit joke. But go ahead, continue with your question.
Yes, well, my faith, praise the Lord, because it's from God, right? Mine stayed strong, but like I remember going into, you know, say confession, and the smelling the alcohol and just the disdain as you're pouring your heart out was pretty sad. But in any event, my question is, I have at about 32, I started doing BFF Bible Study Fellowship. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's one of like the biggest, oldest Bible studies. I think it's like right around the world. You could, any Wednesday, whether you're in Africa or America, they're doing the Bible study. And it was life-changing for me because I never found a lot of Bible study in the Catholic Church. We read the Gospels, but not too much else. And we kind of really learned out of our Catholic school books, you know, like our
yes.
catechism and our school books more than God's Word. So I have 4 kids, all believers, 23 to 31. They all love God. They love their country. Their faith is first. And I'm so thankful for that because that's always been my biggest prayer. I have a husband that believes. But I've had to go, you know, I teach CCD for 20 years at my school. But I have to teach a lot from the Bible or other materials. Like I don't just teach from, you know, the Catholic materials. Our schools are closing. Our Catholic schools are closing. Our churches are combining. Now we just combine 3 churches into one.
So, Barbara, it seems to me that the question is coming. I just need to prompt you to get to it just because we're getting close to the top of the hour. But your question has to do with Catholic education?
And your future of the Catholic Church in this country, it seems that the bishops are happily presiding over the closing of churches, combining churches.
I gotcha. Okay, so that makes sense. We're hurting as a Catholic community in many ways. In some ways, I'm sure there are bishops in many places who are presiding over a church that is bit by bit failing, maybe in their local place. How do you see the future of the Catholic Church, Jared?
Well, I think Barbara points to some important points here insofar as really we need to go back to the sources, right? I mean, we need daily contact with Christ and prayer. We need to read and pray over God's word and Lectio Divina. We need to do this as a family. And parents are the primary, I don't want to say educators, I want to say mentors in the faith, right? Because we can't simply teach about God. Right, we have to help our children to truly encounter God and to live with God every day. Parents, by far, are the best at doing that. I point a lot of people to Christian Smith with his co-author's book, Young Catholic America. Right, he's a sociologist out of Notre Dame. And he says that through his studies with his colleagues, they cannot report any measurable effect of attending Catholic schools or Catholic youth ministry programs on living out the faith as adults.
Oh.
Right. And other people say, well, actually, Catholic schools do have an impact. I don't want to totally deny that there's any impact there. But he says this is how we see the impact, that there is adult mentorship in the faith that primarily comes through the role of parents, that is then supported fight the Catholic school or youth ministry programs. They're secondary. Parents can't say, well, I'm taking my kid to Catholic school or to the church program, whether it's religious ed or youth ministry, and they'll do it for me. That doesn't work. That is not an effective way of passing on the faith. Parents have to pass on the faith, and then they're supported by the school and the parish programs. Then the third thing, and this gets us to Christian culture, he said the third thing that is necessary is living out the faith in your daily life, that you have Christian friendships, that you're praying every day. All of these things are important. So we want to put those three things together. Adult mentorship that mostly happens through parents, educational programs, living out the faith as a way of life, as a Christian culture. Those are the things that need to get to go together to make disciples for the next generation.
That's a very hopeful message, but it also gives me a slight anxiety because we hear so much from adults, no one prepared me. You know, that right. Like they're already parents. They don't feel prepared to educate their own children in the faith.
I'm working on a framework right now, you know, with the Archdiocese of Denver for discipleship in schools. And part of this is to say we need to view every interaction we have with our students as an expression of discipleship, right? A mentorship in faith. Discipleship means teaching, literally, right? It's where the word comes from. But part of that framework is helping parents to understand their role and how to live out their role with their own kids, because I think you're absolutely right. There is like a gap here in Christian culture, as our previous caller said from Denver, right? That, you know, we used to maybe see it in the past, but our current parents haven't been taught how to mentor their own kids in the faith. Okay, fine. Well, let's teach them how to do it. And so I think that's a big rallying call for our Catholic schools and our parishes. It even relates to my previous comment about creating family-friendly and family-centered ministry in the parish that is maybe run by families in an organic way, but also families helping other families to learn how to live out this Christian culture in the home.
I see. Yeah, families helping other families. Right. There's that power in community that you, in isolation, you just don't have the power to accomplish those things.
It'd be very hard just to do it by ourselves.
Jared Stout is our guest. The book is a brand new book. It's called Restoring Humanity, Essays on the Evangelization of Culture. You can get it wherever good books are sold. Anywhere, just type it in on the internet. You'll find it. Restoring Humanity, Essays on the Evangelization of Culture. The fundamental premise being we're losing our humanity. In some cases, it seems to have been lost. I don't know exactly which tense to use there, but this is almost undeniable when you look around at the fact that, you know, we're just falling apart at the seams. Everywhere you turn, we're falling apart at the seams. This is not a book designed just to complain about this or that. It's designed to get at the root of what actually makes culture. And at the root, really, Christ makes culture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, what is our confidence for the future? It's our confidence in Christ, that if we truly have a strong faith and we live with Christ, we will rebuild. And He will restore our humanity. At the very beginning of the book, I quote the beautiful line from the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." And that's not just at the end of time. Christ is making all things new right now. You know, and I can think of my own conversion as a 13-year-old kid. What did Christ want to do for me? Restore my ability to think about things rightly. He wanted to restore my imagination, kind of unplugging from the things that were corrupting my imagination at the time, right? Restore my relationships and really give me a sense of vocation and mission. That's why I'm here talking to you right now. It's because I met Christ when I was 13 years old at the Mass in the Eucharist. I met Christ and He began restoring my life. I'm not a saint at this point, but I, insofar as I am living with Christ, He is remaking me from the inside out. But that includes everything that I do. That's what I really want to communicate. It has to. My leisure, entertainment, relationships, work, all of this has to be marked by Christ for me to truly be His disciple.
I think we just should have Jared Stout on every Friday. Then we'll just go into the weekend fired up and ready to live with Christ and share Christ with others. Jared Stout, thanks.
Amen.
I really appreciate the hour. I really do. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And I am not joking. This is the book for our moment. I hope you'll get it. Restoring Humanity. You can find it. The author is Jared Stout. He's been our guest this hour. You can find it wherever you get your books. Restoring Humanity. Essays in evangelizing.
On the evangelization of culture.
Oh, on the evangelization. Gosh, so messed up there. Right at the end, I was doing so good. All right, Tim Staples is coming up, and it's an entire hour for kids. If you're a kid, this hour is for you. You got to get permission to dial the phone. Maybe you should charge up the phone. Make sure you got a full charge so you can wait on the line until Tim gets to you. Sometimes it takes a little while with Tim. Right back with Open Forum for Kids right after this.